Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
The Bible said in Matthew chapter number 28, look with me in verse number 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Now, I want to say this, and I'm not going to preach on this. I'm just going to say it in passing. But you know, we're all interested in the closing of verse number 20. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. We're all interested in the Lord being with us. Amen. But can I say something? Before there was a lowing, verse number 19 shows us there was a going. What did he say? He said, go ye therefore and teach all nations. If you want the Lord to help you, there's got to be a going before there's a lowing. Amen. But here's what I'm interested in. Verse 17, and when they saw him. And when they saw him. That's what I want to preach on for a little while this morning. When they saw him. Who is the him? Jesus. So could I say it this way? When they saw Jesus. Can I just say something to you this morning? When you see him, I promise you things will be different. Amen. Father, I pray that over the next few minutes, Lord, that you would help us today. I pray, God, that you'd preach us in power and unction and demonstration of the Holy Spirit of God. I pray, Lord, that you'd save that sinner closest to hell today, and we'll give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You can be seated this morning. When we come to Matthew 28, Jesus has risen from the dead. The women have come to the tomb and found that the tomb was empty. The angel has declared, he is not here, for he is risen. Now watch this, as he said. In other words, what he said he was going to do, he really did do. Jesus has instructed the women to tell his disciples to go into Galilee, and he has promised, there shall they see me. That brings us to verse number 16 of our text. The 11 disciples went away into Galilee into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. What happens just before this in chapter 28 is the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has been crucified. He has died. He has rose again. And he tells these ladies to go tell the disciples to come apart to a mountain in Galilee that he wants to talk to them and he wants to see them. I cannot help but wonder what was going through the disciples' minds and those 11 men's mind that day as they made their trip up the mountain to Galilee. They knew that they were going to see Jesus. They knew, based on the word of the ladies that came to them, that they was fixing to stand face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. They're going to see Jesus. But they also knew that one of the last times that they was around him, that their actions was not pleasing to him. Now stay with me as we look at the context of the scripture. They were not walking up that mountain that day with a perfect track record. They were not walking up the mountain that day with everything that they had done previously being right. Matthew has told us, and I'll show it to you in just a minute, what has happened in their life. These were the men who promised that they would never forsake of the Lord Jesus Christ. They promised that they would never walk away from Him. They said that they would go with Him all the way to the end. When thinking about their failure, though, the answer is not pretending that our failures never happened. The answer is taking our eyes off of our failures and placing them on our Savior. What happened in their life? They did fail the Lord. And as they began this 90 to 120 mile journey, approximately 4 to 6 days it would have taken them to get to where they was at, no doubt there's some things that's going through their mind. They knew they was fixing to stand before Jesus. They knew that they was fixing to behold the risen Savior. I want to show you some things this morning. Number one, I truly believe this. There was the servants of failures that was in their mind. There was the servants of failures. These disciples, these men standing before Jesus in Matthew 28 were men who had failed the Lord. They had failed Him at perhaps the darkest moment in His earthly ministry, the very lowest point, if you want to look at it from a humanity's viewpoint, in His ministry. We all know now that He would produce the very highest point in His ministry. But at that moment, He's going to Calvary. He's going to be crucified, and they fail Him at that moment. Stay with me this morning. What makes their failure even more striking is that Jesus told them that it was coming. Matthew chapter 26 verse 31 says this, "Then saith Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night." Jesus knew exactly what was going to happen, yet Peter was certain Jesus was wrong about him. Listen to what Peter says in Matthew 26, 33. "Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet I will never be offended." Peter was essentially saying, "Lord, maybe these others will fail you, but God, I'll never fail you." Then Jesus become even more specific. He says this in verse 34 of chapter 26. "Verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crows, thou shalt deny me thrice." Peter answers in verse 35, "Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee." And notice again, "likewise also so said all the disciples." Can I just say this to you? They have all said, "Lord, we're not going to deny you. Lord, we're going all the way with you." These were not men that were planning to fail. These are not men that are setting out to fail, but we find that they are. They intended to be faithful. They believed that they would be faithful. They promised that they would be faithful, but good intentions are never the same thing as spiritual strength. They said, "Oh, we're going to be faithful." Can I just bring it right down practical this morning? How many times have we went to an altar and said, "God, I'm going to be faithful. I'm not going to miss another service. I'm going to stay in the center of thy will." And before the sun goes down, we find ourselves failing Christ. You might as well holler amen. Think about this. Before the night was finished, their confidence had completely collapsed. They failed Him in watching. Jesus took Peter, James, and John farther into the Gethsemane and said in Matthew 26, 38, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me." Jesus did not ask them to fight an army. Jesus did not ask them to preach to thousands. He simply asked them to watch with them. But Jesus returned in verse 40 of Matthew 26. He findeth them asleep. And He said to Peter, "What, could you not watch with me 1 hour?" Listen to what I'm saying this morning. Before they ever fled with their feet, they had already failed with their prayer. Before they had ever failed with their feet, they had already failed with their prayer. You remember what Ian Bounds said, don't you? All of life's failures are prayer failures. I'm talking about the servant's failures. There may be a warning that goes out to us today. Many times public failures begin with our private neglect of the Lord. They failed with their fleeing. Watch this. When the soldiers came and Jesus was arrested in Matthew chapter 26, verse 56. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. Man, think about that. Think about that. These are the same men who had just said they were willing to die with him. But when following Jesus became dangerous, well, they ran. Matthew 26, 58 says, but Peter followed him afar off. And before the night was over, Peter denied Jesus three times. Verse 74 of chapter 36, then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. Then in verse 75, he went out and wept bitterly. Why? Because he had denied the Lord Jesus Christ. The last significant thing Matthew tells us Peter did before the crucifixion was deny Jesus. And now Jesus has said, hey, I want you to come up here 120 miles away on a mountain, and I want to talk to you. I want to talk to you. Boy, I wonder what's going through Peter's mind. I know my Bible, and I know there's two other times probably that he's already seen them. And Matthew does not record those. The other Gospels does. I know that Peter has already seen Christ, but now it's something more. Jesus is saying, I want to talk to you personally. I want the 11 to come, the ones that denied me. All of them but John has walked away. And he says, hey, I want to talk to you. Boy, this 4 to 6 days journey, I wonder what's going through their mind. Jesus knew that they would fail before they ever failed. And yet he chose them. And yet he loved them. And yet he went to Calvary for them. And yet he rose from the dead for them. And now he has called them to meet with him in Galilee. Their failure was real, but their failure was not final. Your failure may be part of your story, but hear me this morning. It does not have to be the final chapter of your story. Each and every one of us here today, if we're honest, we have failures in serving God in our life. We have Matthew chapter 26 moments in our life. There is times where we say, Lord, I'll go all the way with you. And because of the troubles and the trials and the temptations of this world, we find ourselves wavering on that. Oh, but may we be reminded that our failures do not have to be the final chapter of our life. Thank God the story of Peter does not end in chapter 26. Thank God the story of the disciples do not end in chapter 26. There's another day that's just ahead. I thought about this. The very men who forsook him in Matthew chapter 26 are about to be commissioned by him in Matthew 28. So number one, I see the servant's failures. Watch this. And number two, I see the Savior's forgiveness. Not only do we see the servant's failures, but we see the Savior's forgiveness. Before Jesus ever commissioned these men, he had already demonstrated that their failure had not changed his love for them. Perhaps some of the sweetest words in Matthew chapter number 28 is found in verse number 10. And here's what the Bible said. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid, go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there they shall see me. They had forsaken him, but he had not forsaken them. They had run from him, but he was still reaching out to them. They had failed him, but he had still not stopped loving them. Matter of fact, Jesus could have said this, go tell the cowards, go tell those who promised that they would die with me, that ran another way. Go tell Peter that I remember what he did. Go go tell them all of their past. But that's not what Jesus said. When he refers to them, here's what he says. Go tell my brethren. Go tell my brethren. Boy, you want to talk about forgiveness today? Oh, yes, you want to talk about forgiveness today. What is he saying? He's saying they're my brethren. Their failure had not changed their relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I say that again? Their failure had not changed their relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That does not mean that their failure didn't matter. Matter of fact, Peter certainly understood the seriousness of his sin, because in Matthew chapter 26, verse 75, he went out and wept bitterly. Peter did not laugh about his denial. He did not excuse his denial. He did not pretend his denial had never happened. He wept bitterly over it. There's a tremendous difference between repenting of our failure and living the rest of our life imprisoned by our failure. Hear me this morning. There is a difference between repenting of our failures and living the rest of our life imprisoned by our failures. The disciples could have very easily remained in prison in their own self because of their failure. But they're fixing to see somebody. Oh, yes. They're fixing to see somebody that's going to change that. God never intended for grace to make us casual about sin. But neither does God intend for forgiven sin to keep a repentant Christian from ever being useful again. Calvary demonstrates the heart of the forgiver. While Jesus was hanging on the cross, you remember what Luke records. He says this in chapter 23, verse 34. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Can I just say something? He is showing the loving kindness of our Heavenly Father. He said in 1 John 2:2, and he is the propitiation for our sin, and not for ours only, but also for the sin of the whole world. You know what he's showing? He's showing his forgiveness to us in spite of our failures. You ever thought about those seven sayings on the cross? You remember that one that he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Have you ever wondered what the why was right there? He said, why hast thou forsaken me? Can I enlighten you on what I think that why is? Look around. That's the why. Look in the pulpit. I'm the why. Look in the mirror. You're the why. Why did God forsake Jesus? Because of you and because of me. He had to forsake Jesus because our sin was placed upon a thrice holy God that day. It was placed upon the darling Lamb of God, and God could no longer look upon his son. Why? Because of you and because of me. Even though he knew we would mess up, even though he knew we would fail him. I think about this. John 21 gives us one of the most beautiful scenes in the life of Peter. Peter had denied Jesus three times. Now the risen Christ speaks to Peter personally. Listen to what he said in chapter 21, verse 15. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Peter answered, yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. Jesus says, well, feed my lambs. Again in verse 16, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Again, Christ responds, feed my sheep. The third time, verse 17, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Feed my sheep. Peter had denied him three times. Now three times, Jesus brings Peter face to face with his love for Christ. Notice something important. Jesus is not merely dealing with Peter's past. Here's what I want you to stay with me, because I'm headed to the next point, and if you miss this, you're going to miss it all. Jesus is not merely dealing with Peter's past. He is preparing Peter for his future. Peter's being reminded right now, there was a time that you denied me, but thank God the past is the past. And what he is saying to him is this. He's saying, I'm preparing you for the future. Every time Peter answered, Jesus gives us something to do. Feed my lambs, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. Jesus was not finished with Peter. Even though he had denied him, Peter may have thought his denial had disqualified him from ever being useful again. But Jesus knew something Peter did not know. Jesus knew Peter's failures, but Jesus also knew Peter's future. Jesus knew Peter's failures, but he also, in his foreknowledge, knew Peter's future. Think about this again in John chapter number 21. After dealing with Peter's failure, Jesus brings Peter right back to the original call. Verse 19, and when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. Peter then looked at John and asked him, verse number 21, Lord, what shall this man do? Jesus answered, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Matter of fact, he goes on again in John 21 to say the same thing. Tells him two different times, Peter, just follow me. Peter, just follow me. It's like Jesus is saying, Peter, quit looking around. Quit worrying about John. Quit comparing your assignment with someone else's assignment. Get your eyes on me. Get your eyes on me. The answer to failure is not spending the rest of our life staring at it. It's not spending the rest of our life staring at it. Matter of fact, Hebrews said this in chapter 12, verse number 2, looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, there comes a time when we must stop focusing on what we have done in the past and start focusing on what Christ done on Calvary and a forgiveness that has been extended already to us. Number one, I see the servant's failures. Number two, I see the Savior's forgiveness. But number three, I want you to see this with me, and I hope you'll stay with me right here and I don't lose you. But I see the sovereign's foresight, or the sovereign's foreknowledge. Here they stand before Jesus. That's everything that's taken place up to our text. Here they stand before Jesus. And in verse number 17, and when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you. Well, who's with him? All power that's given from heaven. All power. Watch this. I love the order of these verses. First, all power is given unto me. Then he says, go ye therefore. Their future usefulness was not dependent upon their power. It was dependent upon his power. Can I say it again? Their future usefulness was not dependent upon their power. It was dependent upon his power. Your future usefulness in the service of Christ is not dependent upon your power. Because let me tell you something about your power. It's like my power, and it ain't much at all. You say, well, I'm strong. I'm not talking about physical strength. I'm talking about our spiritual walk with God. It's not very strong at all. But the day I got saved, somebody else moved inside me. Oh, yes. Somebody else moved inside me. And what was that power? That power is not my power. Christ using me does not depend upon my power, because in my power I can do absolutely nothing. Oh, but in his power, And yet the Savior's foreknowledge, His foresight. These men knew that they had been, what they had been in their own strength. They had already demonstrated that. When the pressure came, they ran. When Peter was questioned, he denied. When Jesus asked them to watch, they slept. But now the risen Christ says, all power is given unto me. And on the basis of His power, He gives them a commission that seems humanly impossible. He says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Think about who Jesus is talking to. The ye, go ye. Are you with me? Go ye. Who's He talking to? Well, the Bible says that ye, in Matthew 28, is the disciples. He's called them away. But here's what He said in Matthew 26:56. Then all disciples forsook Him and fled. But when we get to Matthew 28, He says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. You're not getting it. The ones that forsook Him, the ones that walked away from Him, even though He had washed their feet, even though He had spent practically 3.5 years with them, training them and mentoring him, even though He told them what was fixing to happen, and they said it never would, but it did. When He meets them on the mountain that day, here's what He says to them. He don't look at them and say, you're a bunch of worthless, no good for nothing sinners. I'm tired of investing in you. You failed me over and over. I even warned you that you would fail me. I told you what you would do and you said you never did, but you did anyway. No, that's not what He says to them. Here's what He says to me. All power that's in heaven, the very power of God, the one that spoke the worlds into existence, the one that help me raise from the dead, that power, I've given it to you. Oh yes. The men who had run away from Jesus, now being commissioned to run into the world with the gospel of Jesus. What changed? What changed? Well, they encountered the risen Christ. That's what changed. Listen to this statement. We think forward, but Jesus knows forward. Can I just say something about that statement? That's real deep. We think forward. That's not deep. Jesus knows forward. That's real deep. That's foreknowledge. That's for. He knows forward. He knew what they was going to do, but He still chose them. He knew what Judas was going to do, but He still chose them. He knew what Judas was going to do, yet He still washed His feet. He knew that all of the disciples, with the exception of John, was going to forsake Him, yet He still washed their feet. Think about this. We think for Jesus knows forward. We can look ahead and wonder what might happen. We can make plans. We can have hopes. We can think about tomorrow. But we can only think for Jesus knows forward. When Jesus looked at Peter, He did not merely see the man who had denied Him. He knew the preacher Peter would become. When Jesus looked at those 11 men on the mountain, He did not merely see the men who had forsaken them. He knew what they would become when they was empowered by the Holy Ghost. They could remember their failures, but all Jesus could see was their future. They could remember. I guess I'm the only one getting this. They could remember their failures. 4 to 6 days, 90 to 120 miles on foot. No doubt the whole time Peter was thinking, what's he going to say? I'm the worst of any of them besides Judas, and I might as well be him. I've denied the Lord. I've cursed and said that I didn't know Him. And now He's some. Can I just put it this way? It was like getting called to the principal's office. Except He was the creator of all the world. What's He going to say to me? What's he going to say? No doubt every one of them. I bet Matthew's twiddling his thumbs. I bet Matthew, what's he going to say? What's going to go on? What's all going to be said? Matter of fact, I find it interesting that Matthew leaves out the other two accounts where they've talked to Jesus and goes straight to this. Let me tell you the reason why. This is what Matthew remembered more than anything. He knew he was fixing to see Jesus. He had called him apart, and he was fixing to stand before him. And no doubt in my mind, all they could think about was their failures. But Jesus wasn't looking at their failures. Jesus was looking at their future. Jesus had been preparing them for that future long before they ever even knew it. Think about the feeding of the 5,000 with me. Everybody still awake this morning? Think about the feeding of the 5,000 with me in John chapter number 6. You know what happened in John chapter number 6? Jesus fed those 5,000 men. We know that there's probably more than that there. That was just the men. And Jesus fed those 5,000 men that day. And here's what Jesus used the disciples to do. The disciples distributed the bread that day. That's what they done. And you know, it's very interesting that when we read on in John chapter number 6, Jesus right after that makes one of the great I am statements of John. And he says this, I am the bread of life. You know what he was doing? Here's what he was doing. He was preparing them to distribute the bread of life one day. You see, they was distributing bread to men that day, but Jesus goes on to say, I am the bread of life. One day they would no longer be carrying barley loaves to hungry men. They would be carrying the message of the bread of life and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to all the world. Matter of fact, when we go to Acts chapter number, man, I love my Bible. We go to Acts chapter number 4, and they preach, and guess what happens? According to verse number 4 of Acts chapter number 4, there was about 5,000 men that believes on the Lord. You see, they had got their eyes off of their failures and realized that years before, the bread of life was preparing them, even though he knew their failures, even though he knew they would mess up, even though he knew they would fail him, he in his foresight and his foreknowledge was preparing them to take the bread of life into all the world and preach the gospel. And these failures preach, and 5,000 men believe. Earlier they had been 5,000 hungry men. Jesus supplied the bread. The disciples distributed it. Now in Acts, about 5,000 believing men. The bread of life has been preached. Peter and the apostles are distributing the gospel now. Back in Galilee, Jesus had said, go ye them, give ye them to eat. They did not realize how much he was preparing them for what was ahead of them. For the rest of their lives, they would be taking the bread to hungry men and giving it to them. Can I just say this to you this morning? That's the Savior's foresight. That's the Savior's foreknowledge. We think forward, Jesus knows forward. Your past may explain, if you'll come start playing softly, Miss Tanya, your past may explain where you've been. It does not have to determine where you're going, though. Your past may explain where you've been, but it don't have to determine where you're going. Because the same Christ who forgave your past already knows what he desires to do with your future. To preacher, I failed God. Welcome. We all have. I'm glad we don't have to live in that. Closing this morning. Now come back to our text, chapter 28, verse 17. And when they saw him, they worshiped him. I believe everything comes back to the words, when they saw him. When they saw him, these men could have spent that meeting looking at themselves. Peter could have looked at himself and seen a denier. The others could have looked at themselves and seen a deserter. They could have stood there remembering every promise they had broken and every opportunity they had missed. But Matthew doesn't say when they saw their failures. Matthew says when they saw him. If I was writing right then, I would have pulled out one of those Old Testament words and put it right there. Selah. When they saw him, just stop and think about that a minute. When they got there that day, everything that they had thought about for the past 120 miles went away. And they, oh yes, they saw him. They saw him. They saw him. I want to say this to you this morning. That might just be where some of us need to get. When we see him, we've looked at ourselves long enough. We've replayed the failures of our past long enough. We've carried the guilt long enough. We've allowed something Christ has forgiven us for to occupy our attention long enough. We've allowed something that Christ has already forgiven us for to occupy our attention long enough. There is a time to weep over sin, and we see that in Peter's life. There's a time to confess sin, and we see that in 1 John 1:9. But once it's been confessed and forgiven, stop letting the failure grow bigger in your eyes than the forgiver. When you constantly, it's 12 o'clock, I'm right now done. When you constantly focus on your failure, you're saying your failure is greater than your forgiver. The goal is not to minimize our failure. The goal is to magnify our Savior. When I focus on my failure, I see what I did. When I focus on Jesus, I see what He did. When I focus on my failure, I see my weakness. When I focus on Jesus, I hear all power is given unto me. When I focus on my failure, I wonder whether I can ever be useful again. But when I focus on Jesus, I hear these words, "Go ye therefore." You see the movement in the passage. They had a failure behind them. They had a forgiveness from Christ, but then they discovered a future that was before them. And then the Bible said this, when they saw him, they worshiped him. They worshiped him. They didn't worship their past. They didn't bring up their past. They didn't talk about their past. They worshiped. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Worthy, worthy, they just fell and worshiped Him. Maybe the reason that you've not been worshiping lately is because you're looking at the wrong thing. You're looking at the wrong thing. If they would have went on the mountain, I hope you're getting what I'm trying to preach this morning. If they went on the mountain and focused on their failure, they'd have never been worshiped. Maybe the reason you're coming to church and not worshiping is because where your focus is at. It's because where your focus is at. Maybe the reason you're coming to church and not worshiping is because you're not just focusing on your failures. Maybe you're focusing on the failure of someone else. I don't know. I don't know. We have no scripture to prove this. But I wonder, maybe going up the mountain on that 4 to 6 day journey, if one of them looked over at Peter and said, "Well, you really done it this time. You're the reason we're getting called in." Hey, can I just say it this way? If they was Baptist, I guarantee you that's what happened. You're the reason the pastor's calling us to the office. I met with a few of our young mothers the other day before service and talked to them about some things here at the church. And when they all came in and said, I didn't tell them why I wanted to meet with them. They all came in and sat down, and it was that deer in the headlight look, like, which one of us done something wrong? Why are we all getting called in? That's the way, no doubt, the disciples failed. But when they got there, Peter didn't look at Matthew. Matthew didn't look at Peter. When they got there, all they could see was him. And when they saw him, all they could do was worship. When they saw him, we've all got failures. We've got a Savior that'll forgive. And in His foreknowledge, we're thinking, maybe God can do this with me. God knows I can do this with them. We see forward, He knows forward. We think forward, He knows forward. He knows the plans that He has for you. You remember when Peter, y'all ready to go, and I'm ready to preach another hour. You remember Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, and those 3,000 got saved, and man, what a story. What a story. God used him that day. If you look at the timeline from everything that I can find and study, I can't give you exact date, but I can give you an estimate. It's around 50 days since the denial of Peter. So 50 days ago, Peter was denying and cursing Christ. Fast forward 50 days. God loves you, God will save you, and 3,000 get saved. Say, preacher, this week I failed God in a big way. You might be 50 days away from your greatest victory, your greatest accomplishment. God sees, He knows forward. Don't live in your past failure. Living in past failure says that your failure is bigger than the forgiver. You put more emphasis on you than you do Him. When they saw Him. When they saw Him. Thought about this. They saw a harvest. But I preached it just the other night. I said, lift up your eyes and look up. They saw a harvest. They saw Him. When you get to Revelations, they see heaven. And when you get... Oh, I got to hush or I'll preach again. But when you focus on Him, let me tell you what you start seeing. Things that are above and things that are not earthly. Just focus on Him.